The king of Vidarbha, Maharaj Bhishmaka, had 5 sons and 1 daughter. His eldest son was called Rukmi, and his daughter's name was Rukmini. She was very beautiful, intelligent, liberal-minded, and chaste. From the many saintly persons and sages, like Narada Muni, who visited her father's palace, the young princess came to know about Sri Krishna, and simply by hearing about him, she desired to surrender herself to the Lord's lotus feet and become his wife. All of her family members and relatives also agreed that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna. All but one, her eldest brother Rukmi. Despite the desire of all the other family members, he arranged for her marriage with his friend Shishupal. When Rukmini discovered this, she became very morose. She knew that she had only one course of action. She decided to send a message to Krishna, and so that she might not be deceived, she selected a qualified Brahmin as her emissary.
Oh, best of the Brahmins, could you please do this for me?
My dear Rukmini, I feel very fortunate to convey your message to Lord Krishna. Of course I'll go.
Oh, thank you.
Without delay, the Brahmin left for Dwarka City. Having reached the gates of Dwarka, the Brahmin was led by the doorkeeper to the room where Lord Sri Krishna was residing. There he saw him, seated upon a golden throne. The Lord immediately got up and offered his throne to the Brahmin, after which he worshipped the Brahmin, exactly in the manner in which the demigods worship him. He thus showed that to worship the devotee of the Lord is more valuable than to worship the Lord himself. Brahman took his bath, accepted his meal and went to rest. As he was resting, Lord Sri Krishna silently approached his bedside. Putting the Brahman's legs on his lap, he began to massage them.
Best of the Brahmins,
are you resting peacefully? Are your religious practices proceeding without too much difficulty? When a Brahman is satisfied, come what may, and does not fall away from his duties, then he's qualified and can acquire the fulfillment of his desire. One who's not satisfied, he wanders restlessly, whatever he may be,
even as Indra,
he'll see only difficulty.
I offer my obeisances to the Brahmins and Vaishnavs, because Brahmins are always self-satisfied, and Vaishnavs are always engaged in actual welfare activities. Therefore, they are the best friends of the people in general, as they are both free from false egoism, and are always in a peaceful condition of mind. Tell me, are all the citizens of your kingdom satisfied?
Yes, my lord.
Then your king must be well qualified. Now, if you have no objection, please speak about your mission.
My lord, I have come from Vidarbha, which is ruled by our dear king Bhishmaka, whose only daughter Rukmini is to be married to Shishupal, although all the family members and relatives wanted her to be given in marriage to your lordship. Her eldest brother Rukmi arranged her marriage to his friend Shishupal. Princess Rukmini requested me to deliver to you this message.
noble and most beautiful one. Those who hear about you absorb through their ears your name and fame, fixing your form in their heart. All the suffering departs. I may be shameless in expressing myself so directly, but after hearing of your beauty, which fulfills all desires of all those who see, you have taken my heart, thus captivating me. If that which is meant for the lion to eat is taken away by the jackal as a treat, won't that be a most ludicrous affair? Therefore, lion amongst men, please come here. Hurry, please hurry, before Shishupa will dare. Hurry, please hurry, he intends to run off with that which is your share. My dear lord, if in my previous life I have done public welfare work or pious activities, if Lord Narayan is pleased by these activities, I pray that you will take my hand instead of Shishupal and friends. I want you to be my husband, and I dedicate my life. And if you will be my husband, I'll be my marriage is already settled. The only way for me to be your wife is that you come here and rescue me. The best time for this would be when I'm going from the palace to the temple, or when I'm returning home. I know that to obtain your favor is not easy, as even Lord Shiva has to purify himself for this purpose. Therefore, if it is not possible in this lifetime, I will observe severe austerities and penances life after life. I want you to be my husband, and I dedicate my life. Oh, if you would be my husband, I'll be your eternal servant and wife.
Thank you. Thank you very much for delivering this message to me. I am indebted to you for the trouble you've taken.
My lord, please carefully consider what to do. But if you want to help in this connection, there's not much time left.
My dear Brahmin, I'm so excited that Rukmini has invited me to kidnap her. I'm so glad she has sent you, as I'm eager for her too. Also, my mind has been absorbed, thinking of her, longing for us to unite. And because of my constant thinking of her, I can't even sleep at night. It's so obvious that her brother Rukmi, out of enmity towards me, has promised Rukmini to Shishupal. Ha! Of all people, Shishupal. How typical. As fire is extracted from wood, I'll take Rukmini away from the midst of all those princes who are up to no good, and those who protest I'll slay. Vali, tell Daruka to harness the horses. I want to leave immediately.
Upon receiving the order, Krishna's charioteer Daruka brought Krishna's chariot and four special horses. The first one, Shaivya, was green. The second, Sugriva, was greyish like ice. The third, Megapushpa, was the colour of a new cloud. And the last, Balahaka, was of ashen colour. With the chariot ready to leave, Krishna helped the Brahman up and gave him a seat by his side.
Please, hold on tight.
The horses were so fast that they covered the distance between Dwarka City and Kundina, which was of not less than 1,000 miles in only 12 hours. Meanwhile, in Kundina, King Bhishmaka was not very enthusiastic about handing his daughter over to Shishupal. But he was obliged to accept the marriage settlement due to his affection for his eldest son who had arranged it. As a matter of duty, King Bhishmaka was acting in great earnestness to make the celebration as successful as possible. The roads of the city were sprinkled with water and were decorated with coloured flags and flower garlands. Several archways were constructed, and incense was burning everywhere. The priests and Brahmins were engaged in chanting Vedic hymns to counteract any inauspicious conjunction of the stars. They were all given wealth and cows in charity by King Bhishmaka. Outside the city, there were many gardens where the guests were welcomed. Guest houses were constructed for their stay. There, King Bhishmaka welcomed King Damagosh, the father of Shishupal, and his party, prominent kings and princes such as Jarasandha, Dantavakra, Pandraka, and Vidura. In the meantime, Sri Balaram received the news that his younger brother Krishna had left for Kundina accompanied only by a Brahman. He also heard that in Kundina, Shishupal was there with a large number of soldiers. Suspecting that they would attack his brother, Balaram immediately left for Kundina, taking with him strong military divisions of chariots, infantry, horses and elephants. In the royal palace at Kundina, Rukmini was expecting Krishna to arrive, but when neither he nor the Brahman appeared, she became full of anxiety.
Where are they? There's only one night before my wedding day. Oh, where's Krishna? Where's the Brahman? Where are they? Oh, how unfortunate I am. What could be the reason then? Maybe Krishna has rejected my plan. Oh, where's Krishna? Where's the Brahman? Where are they? Maybe Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva are displeased with me for worshipping them improperly. Trying to frustrate my plan. Or is it Durga who's behind it all? She's the Himalayas' daughter after all. She is very hope and care. But at least there is some time left. There's still some time left. I'm fooling myself, I'm hoping against hope. Where's the Brahman? Where are they?
When her tears became more and more forceful, Rukmini closed her eyes in helplessness. While thus being absorbed in her sorrow, auspicious symptoms appeared in different parts of her body, trembling in her left eyelid and in her arms and thighs. Just then, Rukmini saw the Brahman. She could then understand the auspicious signs in her body, and she became overjoyed.
My dear Brahman, I'm so glad to see you. Has Krishna come?
Dear Princess, I'm glad to inform you that Lord Krishna has indeed arrived. He requested me to tell you that he promises to fulfill your desire without fail.
Rukmini was so elated that she wanted to give everything she possessed to the Brahmin. She looked around to find something suitable. Finding nothing adequate, she simply offered him her respectful obeisances. When King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna and Balaram had arrived, he personally invited them to see the marriage ceremony of his daughter. Out of curiosity and eagerness, the citizens of Kandina assembled before Krishna and Balaram and began to drink the nectar of their beauty.
If you, Lord of Lords, are pleased with our pious deeds, then please show us your mercy by marrying Rukmini.
In the meantime, Princess Rukmini, very nicely dressed and protected by guards, came out of the palace to visit the temple of Ambika. As Rukmini proceeded towards the temple, she was very silent and grave. Within her heart, she was thinking of the lotus feet of her lord, Sri Krishna. Princess Rukmini was accompanied by her mother, her maidservants, and by the wife of the priest. As the procession continued, musicians began to play. Rukmini was offered flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, and coloured garments to assist her in the worship of Lord Shiva and the goddess Durga. Having arrived in the temple, the elder ladies led the prayers for Durga. Ordinary people pray to the goddess Durga for material wealth, fame, strength, and so on, but not Rukmini.
O Mother Ambika, unto you as well as your children, I offer my obeisances again and again. Please, please accept this offering and bless me that Lord Krishna will be my husband. I beg you.
While Rukmini was praying, the offerings were presented to the deity. When the ceremony was finished, Rukmini was offered the remnants of prasad, and she accepted them with great respect. Then, catching the hand of one of her girlfriends, she left the temple, followed by the others. All the princes and visitors who had come to Kandina for the marriage were all assembled outside the temple to see Rukmini. Some were on horses, some were on elephants, while others were on chariots. They all gazed upon her beautiful features, comparing their own beauty with hers. Rukmini, however, was neither proud nor interested in any of them. As she expected Krishna to come and carry her away at any moment, she proceeded very slowly towards her home. Her eyes moved restlessly, and when she smiled, her teeth appeared just like lotus buds. Her legs moved just like a full-grown swan, and her ankle bells tinkled very mildly. As she was adjusting the ring on her left finger, she happened to look upon the princes and suddenly saw Krishna present amongst them. Though she had never seen him before, Rukmini was always thinking of him, and thus she had no difficulty in recognizing her lord.
Krishna, he's here! Calm down.
Seeing his moment, Lord Krishna swiftly took the opportunity to lift Rukmini up onto his chariot. Without fear, he slowly proceeded towards the city gates. Meanwhile, Lord Balaram appeared on the scene with soldiers of the Yadu dynasty. Struck by Rukmini's beauty, several princes had fallen from the backs of their horses and elephants. They began to stand up and properly arm themselves.
What's this? Should we or lose our reputation? Or are we waiting for an invitation?
Do we let this Krishna kidnapper without any opposition? I mean, look, we're all chivalrous fighters. Just look at our condition.
And look how he is flying.
It's like a jackal
stealing booty from a lion.
Picking up their weapons, Jarasandha and the princes began to chase Lord Krishna. Rukmini, however, seeing the seriousness of the situation, decided to go and get his personal army, while Shishupal wasn't capable of anything. He had lost all his energy, and all the luster of his body had disappeared. In order to check the progress of Jarasandha and the princes, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty faced them, and terrible fighting began between the two belligerent groups. Determined to recapture Rukmini and defeat Krishna, Jarasandha and the princes fought with great passion. Seated by the side of Krishna, Rukmini looked upon the face of her lord with fearful eyes.
Krishna!
Rukmini, don't worry. Rest assured, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty will kill all our enemies without delay.
When they realized they were being defeated and that Shishupal was incompetent to fight with Krishna, Jarasandha and the other princes thought it unwise to risk losing for his sake. Therefore they ceased fighting and dispersed. Some of them, as a matter of etiquette, went to appeal to the floundering Shishupal, whose face was dried up in anguish. In order to cheer him up, they spoke as follows.
I myself lost 17 times to him, and only once did I win. But I never, never lamented my friend, or rejoiced, because I know this world is driven by time and fate. They have now conquered us because time favors them. But be assured, Shishupal, my friend, we shall be victorious when time favors us. As you know, this world is driven by time and fate.
Shishupal, you belong to the royal order. Don't be discouraged, take courage.
Yes.
Amongst fighters, you are by far the best.
For you, where's the question of happiness or distress? So take courage. Shishupal, there is no use in you lamenting. Nothing in this world is everlasting. We're just like puppets on a string. We're dancing by the will of the Supreme. So take courage. Sometimes we enjoy happiness, and sometimes we suffer. and are full of distress.
So take courage, take courage.
So come on, Shishupal.
Now accompanied by his military forces, with great speed, Rukmini began to give chase.
My friends, although none of us could intervene to stop Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, that, however, doesn't mean that I'll let her go so freely. I'm not afraid to attack, and unless I bring my sister back and kill that upstart Krishna, I'll never come back to Kandina. That cowherd has become overproud. As my relative, he thinks he'll be allowed.
But with my arrows, I'll have my sister free. Indeed.
Thus Rukmini, ignorant of the strength of the Supreme Lord,
move faster!
Caught up with the chariot of Lord Krishna.
Stop and fight with me!
After saying this, he drew his bow and sent three forceful arrows streaking towards Krishna's body.
Oh, defiler of the Yadu dynasty! Stop and fight with me! Let her go free! Let her go free. You are carrying away Rukmini just like a crow stealing the ghee. Man, for you, sin a sacrifice.
Come! Fight with me!
I shall relieve you of your prestige as I pin you to the ground with my arrows. You fool! You deceiver! You... cheater!
Hearing these harsh words, Lord Krishna fired an arrow, severing the string of Rukmini's bow. Rukmini took up another bow and Krishna disarmed him. Krishna kept on disarming him in the same way and finally killed Rukmini's charioteer and horses. In desperation, Rukmini took up his trident, lance and shield, but Krishna disarmed him again with his arrows. With nothing left but his sword, Rukmini ran wildly at Krishna. But before he had reached him, the sword too was cut to pieces. When Krishna then took up his own sword to kill Rukmini, Princess Rukmini pleaded with Krishna. While Rukmini was thus praying to Lord Krishna, her whole body was trembling. Her face was paled, her throat choked, and due to the trembling, the ornaments on her body loosened and fell scattered on the ground. Lord Krishna immediately became compassionate upon her.
It's all right, Devi. I won't kill him.
But at the same time, Lord Krishna wanted to punish Rukmini in some way. Binding his hand with a strong cloth, he shaved off Rukmini's moustache, beard, and hair, leaving small patches here and there. While this was going on, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, commanded by Lord Balaram, had broken the whole strength of Rukmini's army. When the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came to see Krishna, they were surprised to see the condition of Rukmini. Lord Balaram became compassionate on Rukmini, and to please her, he personally untied Rukmini and spoke sternly to his younger brother.
Krishna, this goes against our family tradition. Whatever he might be, he's now part of the family, and he shouldn't have been put in this condition. To shave his mustache, beard, and hair is really quite unfair. Why, it's almost the same as killing him. Oh, saintly Rukmini, please don't be aggrieved. Each one of us receives the result of his own deed. wives, for land, wealth, women or pride, Kshatriyas easily have a fight. And you should be gentle but not sentimental. And Krishna, you should know that even though one's kith and kin commits the greatest sin, it is one's duty to pardon him. It is one's duty to pardon him. Oh dear Rukmini, please don't be grieved. By lack of knowledge, unhappiness is guaranteed, and it disappears as soon as one hears philosophy.
Balaram's words of wisdom, Rukmini became pacified and composed. As far as her brother Rukmi was concerned, he had neither fulfilled his boasting promises nor succeeded in his mission. In his frustration, he decided never to return to his father's capital and resided for the rest of his life in the small village of Bhojakata. Lord Sri Krishna brought Princess Rukmini to Dwarka City, where he married her accordingly.
Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki
jai! On this auspicious occasion, all the houses, mansions and palaces were decorated with flags, flowers and garlands. Each and every one of them had a gate especially prepared for the wedding celebration, with big water jugs filled with water on both sides. The whole city was flavored by the burning of sweet-smelling incense, and at nighttime, thousands of lamps illuminated the sky. Rukmini's father, King Bhishmaka, being approached by Lord Balaram and also persuaded by many saintly persons, also participated in the marriage ceremony, along with the Pandavas, King Dhritarashtra, King Drupada, and from Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and some of Krishna's cowherd friends. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Goddess of Fortune were at last united together, all the people felt extremely blissful, and their love for Lord Krishna and his Queen Rukmini increased unlimitedly.